Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now to give you the opportunity to call and get immediate answers to your questions or to discuss the important issues that you face in life right now. The toll-free number is 844-322-2742. That's 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel, and you're welcome. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We hope if you have a problem situation or a question about a particular passage in the Word of God that you will call and be a part of today's broadcast. That's why we're here, to point you into the Word of God, to show you that there is hope in Jesus Christ. You know, last Sunday we all celebrated the most important day in human history, and that was the resurrection of Christ Jesus. And I think it's an important follow-up. What happened after the resurrection? What took place for the next few days and weeks and a month or so? Well, Jesus appeared to people. He proved that he had been raised from the dead. He first appeared to Mary Magdalene and some of the women that visited the tomb that first Easter morning. Then he appeared to Peter, then he appeared to the 11, then he appeared to some 500 at one time. He made himself known. People saw the resurrected Christ. Some touched him. Thomas, for example, touched him, and his doubts went away. He fell at the Lord's feet and said, "My Lord and my God." And that's the whole point of some of those stories, is to bring us to that same point where Thomas was. Maybe we've had doubts about the Lord. Maybe we're not sure that he's Lord in any particular situation. Well, Jesus wants to erase all of those doubts, and he certainly did that for those early followers, those disciples, some 500. He erased all doubt. He appeared before them. And I love the appearance that he did to the two walking on the road to Emmaus. They were distraught over all the events that had just occurred, the fact that Jesus was crucified. And again, they weren't believing in resurrection either. They had heard the women tell the story that he was alive, but they weren't really buying into it. And then Jesus just comes up alongside of them. I think that would have been an interesting encounter right there.
What you doing?
Yeah, so, you know, and that's what he asked. What are you discussing together as you walk along? And so they tell him the story. And then he says to them, "How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" So Jesus said that right to these followers of him. And then he said, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Talk about a Bible study. I mean, I'm telling you, the best teacher that's ever been unfolding the scriptures to these two. And he went through all the prophets and Moses and the law, and he explained that all of these writings were about Jesus Christ. And then he had dinner with these two. And as he broke the bread and began to give it to them, it says their eyes were opened. That's what God wants for all of us, our eyes to be open to the truth about Jesus Christ, the fact that he was dead and that he is alive again. And when our eyes are open to that, everything changes. Yeah. And they went on to say, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" If we want to understand what the Word of God really means, we have to allow Christ himself through his Spirit to open the scriptures up to us. And when he does, our eyes will be opened and our hearts will burn within us. That's what God wants for each and every one of us. And I pray that it's true of you. Let's talk about that on today's broadcast of Basic Gospel.
I think it would be a great conversation, and we'd love to hear from you, friends. The lines are wide open at 844-322-2742. To simplify, it's 844-32-BASIC, and the lines, as I said, are wide open, all the time remaining on the clock, and we're here to address your questions and take you into the Word of God for the answer and or the solution of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, 844-322-2742.
Well, just following up with this whole appearance to the two on the road to Emmaus and the fact that Jesus opened their eyes so that they could understand what Scripture was all about, Paul talks about that in his letter to the Corinthians. He quotes an Old Testament passage and lets that be the starting point of a discussion about the grace of God and how we're to understand the grace of God in our lives. And I want to read that passage. And, you know, we all know we should study the Bible, right? It's what we ought to do. And folks will devise plans to read through the Bible in a year or 6 months or 3 months or maybe the New Testament in a year, and they faithfully do that. But at the end of it, they're not sure what they've read. That was my story when I went to college. I wanted to read the New Testament. I started in the book of Matthew. That's the first book in the, you know, in the New Testament, as far as our Bibles are concerned. And I would read, and I would check off chapter 1, check off chapter 2. And if somebody asked me what I'd read, that's all I could say. Well, I read chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4 of Matthew. Well, what did those chapters say? I don't know. I mean, it said some things, but I don't know what any of that meant. Why? Because the Scriptures hadn't been opened to me. I was going into the Word of God with the wrong reason, for the wrong purpose. I was looking for help for me to be a better person. But the Word of God is about Jesus, and it takes the Spirit of God to reveal that to us. So Paul wrote, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit." So those two guys on the road to Emmaus, Jesus unfolded the Scriptures to them. He opened their eyes. Well, we have that same experience today. We don't encounter the risen Christ as far as seeing Him physically, but He has sent His Spirit, and His Spirit reveals to us what the Word of God means. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. If you want to understand what this Bible is saying to you, if you want to understand what it really means, then trust the Spirit of God to open up your eyes so that you can truly see that it is a book about Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Well, again, you've got Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, my name is Bob Davis. Calls beginning to come in, but still plenty of time, still plenty of room for you to call right now, 844-322-2742.
Let's go to Brooklyn and talk to Capel, is that right?
Yes, hi.
Hi, welcome.
Welcome. Good evening. We recently celebrated, you know, as I say, Easter, related to the death of Christ. I want to know how Romans chapter 8, I think it's verse 3, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." How does that relate to the death of Christ?
Okay, that's a good question, Capel. And he really, I think, answers that in a couple of verses that follow. So he says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." That's a direct result of the death of Jesus. He took our condemnation for us, and He absorbed it in Himself. He took it away once and for all. And when we come to know Him by faith, then our condemnation, the death that we experienced, goes away. We're made alive together with Christ, and as a result, there is therefore now no condemnation. And that's what he says, "Because the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, and that it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. So Jesus Christ becoming a sin offering was the very thing that enabled the Spirit of life to set us free from the law of sin and death. Why? Because Jesus Christ fulfilled the law of sin and death, and he fulfilled it on our behalf, and that law has been fully met in us, and as a result of that, we can be set free by the law of the Spirit of life. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, I'm kind of understanding. So one more question. So then this way saying that it's the flesh of Christ that made us free from sin, right? Are you saying that through his physical death, or is the physical flesh of Christ that caused us to be free from sin? That's what I want to know. That's just my last part of it.
Well, the physical death of Christ condemns sin in sinful man once and for all. It was the final act. So the law says the wages of sin is death. Okay, so there's all of these things we're supposed to do and all of these things we're not supposed to do. And if we don't do the things that we're supposed to do and do the things that we're not supposed to do, there's a punishment attached to that. There's a penalty attached to that. The wages of sin is death. Well, Jesus stepped in and took our death for us. He died in our place. So that act frees us from the law of sin and death so that we could experience new life in him. So he was the final chapter of the law of sin and death. His death was sufficient for all. And that gives way to a new chapter, which is on the coattails of his resurrection, and that's the new life that we have in him. So that whole event, Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, is what sets us free to experience new life in Christ.
Okay, thank you very much. Just one more question. What is justification by faith, please?
Well, justification by faith is simply God declaring us to be just or right in God's sight because of the work of Jesus. And our response to that is to receive it. That's the response of faith. So we're justified in receiving that act that Christ did on our behalf, in receiving Christ himself.
Does it make the believer righteous to that act? Is the believer righteous to justification by faith, the act?
Yes, there's an exchange, if I'm following your question right. There, Christ became sin, and in exchange, he gave us his righteousness. So all of that is by grace through faith. So God initiates, that's the act of grace, to do something for us that we could not do ourselves. Faith is that response of receiving what Christ has done for us. So it's by grace through faith, and through faith we are declared righteous. And what that means, one, is that we know that our sins have totally been forgiven, have totally been taken away, and that we are totally loved and accepted in Christ himself.
All right. Thank you very much.
You are so welcome. Great questions.
Yes,
let me put you on hold, and we'll get some information to you. I'd love to send you a copy of a book called Love Is, and our gift to you for just being on the broadcast today. You hang on.
And Bob and Richard, for any of our listeners who'd like to get a copy of Love Is, you can find it at the online store. You'll find that at store.basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Eugene, who's listening to us in Brooklyn. Hi, Eugene.
Hello, how are you, brothers? Grace and peace.
Grace and peace to you, too.
To you.
Welcome.
Hey, my question today is that when Jesus was on the cross being crucified and the two thieves were with him, one of the thieves finally said to ask Christ to remember me. And Jesus said, verily, 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 I tell you, that today you'll be with me in paradise. My question is, we know this is translated from the Greek, and was it by any chance that Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I tell you today," and it was supposed to be comma, "you will be with me in paradise," meaning that Jesus was saying, "Verily, verily, I tell you today," then he was saying, "you will be with me in paradise." And the reason why I ask this question is because when Jesus came to Mary, when she seen him at first, and he told her, "Don't grab hold to me. I have not ascended to the Father as of yet." This was on a Sunday. Now, he said this to the thief on the cross on Friday when he was being crucified, I believe. So if he told Mary that he did not ascend to the Father yet, my question is, was it supposed to be a comma when he did tell the thief this? And he was just saying that today he's telling him that he's going to be with him in paradise. I'll take your answer off of the air.
Okay, Eugene.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for asking that. Certainly in the way it was written originally, there were no punctuation marks. There were no chapters, no verses. So the comma could be in the wrong place. Or Jesus could have been referring to the fact that Old Testament saints, you know, the Davids, the Moses, the Elijahs, there was a place that they went at death. And that would have been known as paradise.
Yes.
Originally, paradise was the Garden of Eden. That changed when sin entered in. And so those of faith went somewhere. The Old Testament saints went somewhere. So one of the thoughts and ideas based on a couple of passages in Scripture is that Jesus, once he died, went into this place, the upper regions of Hades, as Luke talks about it in Luke 16, the bosom of Abraham, so to speak. And he announces that the work has been finished, and he gathers up the Old Testament saints and prepares them to be with him forever in the very presence of God. So that could have been the very place that Jesus was talking about, and the thief would have been with Jesus at that place and hearing that announcement that it was finished.
Yes. Yeah, I think just as an aside that it's one of those pointers that when Jesus gave his parable of the guy who hired the workers in his field, and at the end of the day he paid them all the same thing, I think that's a fulfillment of that kind of a parable, that here we've got a guy who has led a completely wasted life and accepts Jesus literally on his deathbed, and he is promised salvation in the same way that the Abrahams of history receive salvation.
Yes, indeed.
It wasn't dependent on how good you were, just that you believed in the Messiah.
He was justified by
faith.
That's
yes.
Right. By grace through faith. That's God's plan from start to finish.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Eugene. Hope that helps. Well, let's go to Morristown, New Jersey, and talk with Anthony. Hi, Anthony.
God bless you, gentlemen. My question is that as a born-again Christian, can a believer be demonized, demon-possessed, or can have a demon regarding they're in bondage to sexual immorality, some whatever kind of bondage or addiction, struggling in the flesh to try to break out of? And do Christians, can they need deliverance for, meaning demons cast out of them as a Christian believer? Can you bring that to the Word so I can get a clear context regarding that? Because I've dealt with experience, and I just want to base it in truth.
Okay. Really good question, Anthony. And it goes back to what is a real believer. And a real believer is one who has the Spirit of God living in them. So as Paul wrote in Romans, if you don't have the Spirit, you don't belong to Christ. So when you came to Christ, Anthony, when you believed this good news of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, when you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you were born again. You were regenerated, and God sent his Spirit to take up residence in you. Well, once that happened, you were sealed. And at that point, it was impossible for a demon to come in and take possession of you. God's in the house. He's yeah. living there. And he's not going to share his house with anyone.
And that's what people have said, that in a house, there's many rooms in a house. Just because the living room is clean doesn't mean the kitchen is clean. Meaning that, you know, God, in the sanctifying process of being a believer, and remember, some people who, before they came to Christ, dealt with demonic things, real darkness of lifestyle, and, you know, we're born again in the Spirit God comes to live in us, but from experience and certain doctrines and teachings, hearing that a house has many rooms, that the sanctifying process is sometimes a cleansing and sometimes there's deliverance, even as born-again believers. And I've seen that and I've experienced that, brothers. But my thing is, I'd like to know the truth in the Word, because, you know, that's all I'm trying to understand today, you know?
Yeah. Well, the fact that Christ is alive, living in us, means that demons cannot take up residence in our hearts anymore. They can still influence us.
Yes.
And that's why God has called us to this renewing of the mind process. And we live in a world that is anti-Christ, that is anti-God. It's a world filled with error. And if you look in the Word of God, you see that Satan's weapon of choice is deception. He is a deceiver, and he is one whom is deceived. He's both of those. So he tries to deceive us. Well, where does he do that? In our minds. Mm-hmm. So that's why Jesus said, you know, if you really are my disciples, you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Free from what? All the error, all the lies that we once believed about God, and all the lies that the world is telling us to believe. So if we know truth, that truth is going to set us free. Well, the Holy Spirit living in us is going to bring that truth to our minds, and that's where this renewing of the mind process takes place. So if somebody, for example, is struggling with sexual immorality, that can be a bondage, can be an addiction, can be a trap that feels like you can't get out of. Well, part of the reason for that is you approach getting out of it in the wrong direction. You have error in your mind about how to get out. Well, the Spirit of God is going to renew that mind and help you see that whole thing from His perspective, and over time, you're going to see that lose power in your life. That's just the way God's Spirit works.
Okay. You know what? I have a great pastor book, Can a Christian Have a Demon? And this guy is a man of God. And, you know, God uses him in the ministry of deliverance, and he has a heavy calling on that. And I would love for you to read this book or to discern and get, you know, because this brother, he loves the Lord, and he's being used by God in the you know, casting out of demons, yeah. Healing.
Well, Anthony, we're almost out of time. Let me put you on hold, and we'll get some more information, okay, my friend? Thank you for your call. You hang on.
And friends, once again, to those of you who support Basic Gospel, you're doing much, much, much more than supporting just a radio broadcast. You know, the gifts that you make through this ministry make you a part of every life that is touched and every soul that is saved by hearing the gospel message on the air and online through Basic Gospel. It's an incomparable blessing to know that you've had a part in making a forever change in someone's life. So with that in mind, we ask you to continue the good work that you've begun with us. And if you haven't yet become a part of the ongoing support of the message of God's love and grace through Basic Gospel, why, we ask you to consider it prayerfully right today. Join it with us today if you can. You'll find an online support link in the menu at basicgospel.net, or during Central Time office hours, you can speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. That's 844-41-BASIC. And we will welcome your partnership through your prayers and through your gifts to Basic Gospel. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to join us again Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Have a great weekend, by the way.